Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi-compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Dylan Gemelli podcast. I am so excited today for my guest. We had an amazing pre-conversation, and I've been thinking about this one, and I cannot wait to deliver his message to everybody today. So he is a board-certified psychiatrist, and he talks about eternal life wisdom. He talks about quantum morphogenetic physics. He combines the latest science and technology with ancient wisdom to catalyze healing, growth, rapid self-realization, and self-actualization. He also has his own podcast, which is extremely strong. It's called The Spiritual Psychiatrist. And I just can't wait to talk to you today, man. Thanks for taking time. This is Dr. Samuel Lee.
Yo, it's good. Thanks for having me on, Dylan. It's a pleasure to be here, man. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. I know your time is valuable, and I know you're all kind of you do a lot, man, so I appreciate you taking the time for me today. I'm really grateful. I know you just got off a flight and you're doing your thing, so yeah, I'm gonna utilize all the time I have with you as much as I can today, brother.
Let's do it, both.
All right, cool. Well, okay. Like I was saying, you know, you and I had a really tremendous talk when I got the chance to meet you. I'm blessed. I saw you doing JJ Virgin's podcast, and that's how I came across you. I saw some things that she put up, and so I thought, you know what, I'm gonna check this out because I like the topic. And I started looking into you, and I was like, holy shit, like, this is my guy right here. I gotta try to get you. So why don't you first just talk a little bit about your background, kind of how you came up, some of the things that you've gone through in life to get to where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So in this lifetime, you know, when people ask me where you're from, it's such a loaded question once you open up your multidimensional ancient memory, right? But in this lifetime, yeah, my journey has literally been to be born into a pastor's son. So it's like strict religion. They say if my father wasn't a pastor, he'd be a gangster. So I was brought up in that, fell in love with Jesus at 16, and then, you know, had dreams of being an NBA player. But long story short, I literally had this crazy religious programming, you know, and I went through every single psychiatric condition, especially when I was in medical school and residency at Cedars-Sinai in LA. And so I was going through every single psychiatric condition, doing my residency in West LA, literally where if people got problems, they moved to West LA. And so I was sitting across from the world's problems, blending field with the world's problems, going through the psychiatric conditions myself. And then I graduated and I started working in the Western mental health system. And I started realizing what they were doing to our parents, the skilled nursing facility system, you know, poor air, poor circulation, literally putting them on mind numbing medications, they're drooling out the mouth. And that's how they transitioned to the other side. And then I started learning about, oh, okay, the Western mental health system. Like, literally, I was really trying to help my clients because, like, I was going through it myself. So I had this empathy. But the mental health treatment system, like, literally just therapy and medications, these medications weren't working. They weren't fixing the root cause of the problem. And, like, these mothers would come to me crying and these kids would come to me. And I was, like, trying to heal myself while I was trying to help them. And I realized the mental health system is broken. It doesn't treat the root cause. And then 2 weeks before I was about to become a partner at one of LA's biggest psychiatric hospital firms, I learned that I can quiet my mind. 99% of all psychiatric problems are people identifying with their thoughts as if they are their thoughts. Thoughts come and go. Feelings come and go. Experiences come and go. But who's the one that's always there? And I started realizing I have a soul. I have an I am presence. And my superconscious mind, what Freud called it, has access to information beyond space or time, to intuitive understanding of what is in my highest evolutionary potential. And when my mind is quiet, I can tune into this direct cognitive knowing, which is not a voice. It's a direct knowing. And if I started to meditate instead of eating lunch, and I started to say, I'm committed to quieting my mind and figuring and listening. And when I hear that listen, I will follow it. And so I was skipping lunch, meditating, and I heard the voice 2 weeks before I was about to become a partner, quit your job. You're going to quit your job today. And I just checked, this is not my mind. This is my intuition. I wrote my 2 weeks notice, turned it in, 1,000 crows flew over my office, a feather fell off, and I knew I was on the right track. And I picked up that feather, turned in my 2 weeks notice. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had $300,000 in medical school loans, and everyone thought I was crazy. And literally, I didn't know what to do. So I just, you know, went to the yoga studio, quieted my mind. I went to the beach, and I started doing this Kundalini yoga practice for 2 hours every day. And this prayer started flowing out of me for the liberation of all sentient beings, a new global paradigm of mental health that treats the root cause. Show me what I need to see. Tell me what I need to do. And couple months into doing that, things started happening. I started being led and guided, and like people just randomly found my phone number, and they would like call me up. Hey, we want you to be the medical director in Sedona, taking people off of medications, right? And things just started happening in my hologram. And then I had to heal myself. So I was on a deep dive exploration of all things consciousness. You know, when you have a noisy mind, it's hell. But when your mind is quiet, that's heaven. And so I became a yoga teacher, investigated so many different types of breath work, which helped me a lot. You know, explored Kundalini yoga, went to all the conferences, went down to the Amazon, did ayahuasca, started exploring psilocybin therapy, started studying Tibetan Buddhism, a little bit of Hinduism, started chanting mantras. And all of these things were a part of my healing process. Eventually, though, I was introduced to what is called the Heart Protocol, which is a psychedelic ceremony. But beyond that, I was introduced to what is called the eternal life wisdom, the freedom teachings, the same teachings that our brother Yeshua was learning in Egypt. And I call it eternal life because the original celestial human had at least 12-stranded DNA. The 4th, 5th, and 6th stranded DNA is the soul. The 7th, 8th, 9th stranded DNA is the oversoul. The 10th, 11th, 12th stranded DNA is the avatar inner Christos self. And there's a very intelligent base 12 eternal life mathematical code, which was imprinted on the eternal life system. And I started realizing, wow, the language to activate this potential DNA scientists used to call junk. It's not junk. It's potential DNA. It's non-coding intron DNA that does not code for proteins, but scientists can only focus on what they see. 99% of our scientists have never experienced their multidimensional self. And so when I started realizing this, I said, oh, okay, let me dig into this. It calls itself the freedom teachings. And I started doing these techniques. And these techniques say that the original language of our potential DNA is sound, light, and frequency, what you do not see, and symbols. And so I started running these techniques, and then literally it started to set me free. And all of these words that Jesus spoke in red, I started to understand, not from just a biblical point, but like from a scientific perspective. The eternal living water he offered the woman at the well. Okay, with early morning sun gazing and with certain symbols and sound tones right here on the etheric duct, with solar symbiosis with the sun, you can start to reactivate the duct right here, which will start to produce pre-eternal living water hydrolase, which Jerry Eugenio Rivera just wrote, PhD, wrote a scientific paper about, you know, and so all these words in red started to make sense, but more importantly, it started to set me free. And then I started to dig really deep into the eternal life teachings, and that's kind of been my passion ever since.
Yeah.
I get really caught up when you start talking and like really enthralled into everything. So we got a lot I want to go through on what Nurk just described there, because I know that was like a short synopsis, but there's a lot to unravel throughout all of that. Let me start first with this, and I hope you're comfortable with this question, and if you're not, it's fine, we can move past it. But I guess one of my questions to you is, when you were starting out and you were seeing that there was more like emphasis on treating conditions and not looking for causes, was that something that you found that was kind of being embedded and taught into people, or was that pushed onto you like going through school? Why do you feel that that's so prevalently done? Is it a drug company thing, or is it just a misunderstanding thing?
Yeah, it's five companies own 90% of the media, and every system currently in what people call the matrix or the 3D, the educational system, including the medical system. And if you do your research, you can trace the origins back to where the money comes from and who started it and what was their intention, right? It's literally a brainwashing system. Whoever controls the media controls the flow of information, which literally controls literally what's going into the mind, the frequency, the scalar waves, which is sound, light, and frequency. And those frequencies are literally embedded into the potential DNA, literally, and literally controlling the people, because it's a mind control, soul control program. So the educational system, including the medical health system, was set up because cures do not make money.
Exactly.
So they want to get people stuck on a cycle of addiction to mind-numbing medications that numb the symptoms, but never actually treat the root cause. It's like having a photograph. And in the invisible world, there's a negative of the photograph, the root cause. Mm-hmm. And the whole system is, you know, geared towards trying to treat the symptoms and destroy the photograph. But if you destroy the photograph, the negative is still there in the invisible world, the cause, which means the symptoms will continue to come and the person will be continue to be addicted to mind-numbing medications, continue to cycle. And where does the money go? It goes to the pharmaceutical companies. It's a cycle. And so these pharmaceutical companies actually sponsor doctors, you know, they sponsor research papers, and only those research papers that are in alignment with what they want to promote, medications that do not cure, are published. The other ones are suppressed, systematically suppressed, so that there's been no cures out on the market right now. But the truth will set us free. And the truth is actually 99% of all disease, right? It's actually only 1% is congenital, which means 99% of all disease is coming from the environment, coming from our environment, the toxic environment, the chemtrails, the mind, you know, the negative thoughts. And all of this is systematically set up through the people who own the media and own the educational system, the healthcare system, all of the systems, you know. But this is slowly starting to change as we are waking up.
Okay, so a couple things. One, I wrote a paper in college, and this was like 2001-ish. And I was taking a look at conditions they say couldn't be cured, like HIV, herpes, things like that. And it was hard on the internet to get any information in 2001, right? But I was able to come across what was like an oxygen treatment therapy that was done in Europe. And I wrote a paper on it because it was killing these viruses. The oxygen was smothering the viruses and killing them off. And it was puzzling to me, like, how I was finding this and nobody was talking about it. And still to this day, you know, there's all the money, like you said, it's in suppressive therapy because that's a continuous therapy that you could take forever for all of these diseases, cancers, you know, like I mentioned, HIV, herpes. They'll give you suppressive therapy and keep you on it forever and tell you, oh, we're going to suppress this and keep it down, but we can't cure it. I don't believe, and I'm curious to what you think, because we're both very spiritual. I don't believe for one second that God did not put a cure for every possible thing that we could go through right here on earth. And that's why you get these demonizations or herbal treatments or like even Chinese medicines, different medicines or things that come right from the earth. I believe that you can treat all of that with natural things that are produced here. What's your take and your thought on that?
Amen, brother. Absolutely. 100%. Nature has the answer and we are nature. And so, you know, back in the day, you know, when Tesla came out with the purple light therapy, obviously all of the media started labeling, people were getting cured and they started labeling as quack medicine. If you had to sell one of them, you had to write quack on it. I think, you know, you're talking about a pre-version of hyperbaric oxygen chamber, which can help people with TBI, which can help people all different types of things, because it's the gut, right? Anaerobic viruses in the gut. It's like if you give it the right environment, once again, whether it's hyperoxygenation, there's something else called chlorine dioxide, which a lot of people are having success with. Obviously, there were cures for the pandemic, but if you control the media, right? Whoever controls the money, they're literally going to start suppressing and changing the stories. They hire people literally on the internet to go around and make the top 20, 30 Google searches only things that are in alignment with no cure, right?
Right.
And so, but the tides are slowly starting to shift because a lot of reasons, but like, yeah, we're starting to wake up and the frequency of Mother Earth, we're on a cycle where the frequency of Mother Earth is starting to increase, which means that when the frequency increases, light exposes darkness, which means that everything's just going to come to fruition. And that's why these things are happening, where more and more people are starting to understand the truth of the system. And then we're going to have a choice.
People, I always say to my wife, I'll say, what happened out of nowhere? And I relate this to like the Bugs Bunny cartoons when he'd turn on the TV and they'd hypnotize, you know, and then he'd start walking around and his eyes would get like overglazed and walk around and start acting nuts and doing like evil shit. I mean, that's like what it's almost related to me. So when you were talking about, I don't think people realize the amount of influence that actually is on their lives when they look something up, see a headline. You just kind of programmed to just believe it right off the bat. I mean, we are.
And it's a struggle when you see that and it's right there in front of your face, because most people, they got too many things going on to worry about searching out, you know, the truths and things like that. It's just, it's real simple to see a headline and just follow it and believe what you see.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, make no mistake about it. Like that Bugs Bunny analogy you used is really happening.
Yeah.
They tell Live Vision is purposefully induced to get people into alpha brainwaves. And while they just zone out on the TV, they're literally imprinting brainwashing material through the commercials. And it's all, and they do so much research on how to best promote these medications and all these other things, right? And then every, you know, whoever owns the music industry, even, it's huge, because every single song that is played is literally communicating with the person's DNA and literally coding for proteins according to the imprint of the intention of the artist. And now we all understand, we've all heard, right, how these music artists, when they get to a certain level, they have to sell their soul to continue to blow up and things like that. And there's little subconscious imprints that they put on their album covers, that they tune the frequencies a little bit differently to disrupt our chakra energy flow systems. I mean, all of these things have been going on for so long. And I'm just like barely covering the surface of the depth of what, you know, these has happened in society for such a long time. So absolutely, brother.
Do you think, now that you brought that up, I'm wondering, because, you know, certain songs make you feel a certain way. Now, some of them, it's you just remember certain aspects of your life. And I think that's one of the beauties of music, is it can take you back to things. But sometimes, some songs will make you feel a certain way, you know, whether it's really good or kind of just like not in the greatest of moods, or kind of drag you to a different place. Is that kind of what you're speaking on? Does that happen?
Yeah. So I think like that's such a good point, because the feeling state, which is the D2 emotional body, which is very unique to human beings.
Yeah.
If you can keep human beings in energy is neither created nor destroyed, through whatever means, if you can keep human beings in a low frequency state, there are literally beings off planet who have, through repeated free will choice, chosen to cut themselves off from the source of all energy. So if someone is disconnected from the source of all energy, then they literally need, what they need is a source of energy to vampire energy. And there's been elaborate energy suck systems set up feeding off of low vibration emotions. And so all of these different kind of energy is either created or destroyed. So when someone releases semen without intention, or someone is like literally going through major depression or feeling guilt and shame, and they're worshiping Jehovah or these, you know, outside, when you give your attention to something, you're feeding your worship to it, right? And so there's been these entities or energies that have, which they're just playing their role, I'm not condemning them, they've literally cut themselves off from the source of all energy, and they literally have created elaborate mathematical energy suck systems on earth to vampire these low vibrational emotions. So absolutely, like there's, you know, elaborate systems that have been set up.
Wow. That's wild, the things that people, that are happening right in front of us that we're not even fully aware of. So I've tried to do a lot more focus on the mental health side of things, and I've had some pretty damn respected psychiatrists, psychologists on here. So I want your take on something that I have my own opinion on, and I've valued the opinions that I've gotten. So a lot of times, people claim mental health very often just when they're stressed out. You know what I mean? They have a mad day and they're saying they have a mental health, they need a break because of mental health, because they're under some pressure or things like that. How do you decipher the difference between actual mental health problems and just overabundance of stress that's going on in your life?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I'll answer it with one thing. The way I do not anymore, but the way that every single psychiatrist does.
Yeah.
Oh, that is working in the Western system. There's a book called the DSM-5.
Okay.
Diagnostic Statistic Manual, the Psychiatrist's Bible, fifth version. And every like 5 or 10 years, a bunch of psychiatrists meet together, and by biased research papers sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies, big pharma money, looking at only those research papers, they start creating a diagnosis and labels and symptoms, which literally every 5, 10 years, this book gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, pretty much to the point where anybody currently living on earth, according to that book, can probably be diagnosed with some type of mental health condition. And then the system is set up where the psychiatrist doesn't have time, man. Like, they don't have time. They're literally, the system is set up so the person comes in and do you feel sad? How long have you felt sad? Like, what do you, like, okay, are you eating? Are you not eating? How much do you sleep? Boom. Okay, 5 out of 9 symptoms, 2 weeks, you have major depression disorder. It goes on your medical record for life, and boom, there's no like, hey, what's really going on? Like getting to the root cause, none of that. It's like, here's this medication. Boom, come see me in 2 weeks. Not even a question as to what's really going on, right? Yeah.
And then they're on this medication, and then they go home, and then literally, you know, the medication within 2 to 4 weeks starts numbing them. But, you know, after about 3, 4, 5, 6 months, it stops working. There's tolerance. So they have to come back, and they have to come back again, put them on more medications. Some of these people are like, souls are on literally 4, 5, 6 medications. And the whole time, it's not necessarily even the person that is sick. It's a sick system because, you know, grief is natural. Grief is something that is natural to all mammals, and it's necessary to grieve. Grief is proportional to the amount of love that you had, right? And so it like, but when people come in with grief, they don't even know it. They're put on these mind numbing, and they never process their grief. And then this energy gets suppressed and repressed. Not to mention at the ages of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, when some of these children who literally have 4, 5, and 6 stranded DNA online, they're indigo children, which means they can literally sense a wider range of frequency than most humans can. This is their natural God-given ability. They can sense certain frequencies, like intuitively. And when they go to their mom and say, "Mom, I heard this or I saw this," but they're like, "Oh, man, okay, you need to go see a shrink." And then the shrink obviously labels them with schizophrenia. And these children are here to help humanity. And they put them on mind-numbing medications. These children end up in inpatient psychiatric wards, which I used to go and round at. And you know, in third world countries who are more in touch with nature, like literally when these children at this age come to see, the community doesn't outcast them or label them or diagnose them. If you have a community that embraces them and says, "Oh, this child has a gift with the invisible world. They're having an ungrounded spiritual experience." And they have a shaman or a mentor who's been through the invisible world and knows how to navigate it, and a community that doesn't judge them or label them or put them on mind-numbing meds, this child becomes the local town shaman. It's a gift with the invisible world. And a lot of these children are here to help society. So this book is literally being used all around the world to diagnose, label our children, and to put our uncles and our aunts on mind-numbing medications. And every 5 to 10 years, it gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, when I was a psychiatrist, one of the things that I still am, but like, you know, when I was in those Western meetings with a bunch of like 12 psychiatrists, it was like the most torturous thing in the world to sit at that table. They were trying to decide what to order for Christmas dinner party, and it would take them over an hour. And I would just sit there listening as these psychiatrists, they're a weird bunch, you know, try to decide what they're going to order for Christmas dinner for an hour. Now imagine these same psychiatrists in a circle determining what is going to be used worldwide to diagnose, label our children, and put them on medications on, right? And so that's the system that we're in right now.
That's so troubling.
That is some troubling, troubling stuff.
So here, I'm going to relate this to you on like what I deal with, and we'll relate it back and forth. So I do a lot of hormone optimization, and people really come to me to really find out the problems, because what I found over the years and why I've taken that route is because, well, one, I am passionate about it and I know a lot about it. But two, so many people will walk into their doctor and say, "I'm tired, I'm sluggish, I need testosterone," or "I'm, you know, I'm this or that." And a lot of doctors will do blood work or something like that. They'll see maybe low testosterone, just put you on it without doing any further investigation. Because a lot of times when you have low testosterone, there's something I can fix to avoid putting you on TRT. Now, if you need it, you need it, right? But there's multitudes of ways to do it. I think one is a lack of education on a lot of the doctors' parts that are writing these scripts. Two, some programming. And three, pressure from, you know, drug companies or insurance companies or whatnot. But like you were saying, if you're able to kind of delve deep into the actual cause, and I'm wondering why a lot of, like you mentioned the time aspect, but do you think that a lot of the reason that they're not digging deeper or taking that time is because they take on too many clients, or because they're under pressure, like money pressure from insurance companies? Or what do you think is the driving force? Was it just different for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, you're onto something, because first of all, most doctors, they're not taught in medical school. The system is rigged. They're not taught how to go to root cause treatments and to ask the right questions, and then how to spend time with their clients and how to really, really like try to get to the root of what's happening. And then it's a very linear system. So they don't teach you that all of the hormones are interconnected in this highly intelligent network of endocrine system that, you know, and then they're just taught like, "Hey, this is low, fix that. This is do that," right? So they're not taught. So the educational system, I think the medical system, is not really teaching. It almost looks like a person without a soul. It's that they're like a table. So the leg is fixed, fix the leg. But it's like, yeah. No, hey man, like everything is interconnected.
Yeah,
the serotonin is connected to the norepinephrine, which is connected to the dopamine. But psychiatrists are literally taught, we give SSRI for PTSD, for depression, for
every condition is like giving them the same exact thing. And we're not taught how to do root cause, you know, treatment. And so I think there's a multitude of different reasons why it's happening. And not to mention like the education about the environmental awareness of what's happening in the environment with the air, with the water, with all these different things. Like a lot of physicians are just, and when they come out of medical school, nobody taught them that it's a business. The medical system is a business. And now they have $300,000 in loans, but they went into it, most of them, with a pure intention of wanting to help people. But by the time they're out, they have a family, they have $300,000 in medical school loans, and the whole system is rigged to make them into literally a factory worker. They're just doing what they were taught. And it's not easy to go against the grain and really come true to, I want to know what's true, and I'm going to do my own studying, I'm going to learn my own self, and I'm really going to stay true to that intention of root cause treatments. I think there's a multitude of reasons why physicians get stuck. Lack of education and lack of time, lack of awareness, and the system.
You know, talking about this now, and it's dawning on me, because I'm picturing in my head, like growing up, and you'd see these movies, like I'll say Major League off the top of my head, like Charlie Sheen's laying on the bed and they're trying to ask him problems, like, you know, real questions, trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with them. But you know what? And I don't watch a ton of TV or movies like I used to. I don't have the time, but you don't see that kind of depiction anymore of that breakdown and that discussion on really digging in and talking to somebody when they're like in that type of environment. I don't really recollect seeing that too often, but you used to. So it's portrayed differently now too, and how to deal with it. You see more drug commercials and listing off 5,000 side effects. And, oh, by the way, this could kill you, but you could sue us after you're dead type of deal. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you get when you see these commercials. And I think that that's obviously, like you said, unfortunately, that's the money that's controlling it. And the language and the depiction on what we're given now is a totally different environment and aspect on how to deal with everything. And everything now is like a looking for a quick and easy fix that you can do in 5 minutes. And when you have a problem, these take time, especially on a mental and emotional side. Man, you got to uncover some stuff there to really get into somebody's background and see, like, okay, this is really causing this and why, and what's making them feel this way and that way. And so it's troubling when you have people you work with. Do you really like dig down and get into detail when your discussions, you know, or your clients or whatever it is that you may do? Do you have a certain method, or is it every single person different on how you go about it when you're breaking things down?
I mean, like some of my most powerful sessions when I was doing a lot of one-to-ones was I would literally just invoke their higher self, and I would literally just ask them questions, and I would just listen. All people want is to be seen and heard and felt and not judged. And when they can feel like, wow, this person sees me, they don't judge me, and they're able to hold the space for me, and they're not even trying to change me. Whether they're aware of it or not, the higher selves are communicating in that space. And some of my most powerful sessions were when I would literally just come in and I was aligned. I had done, you know, I felt aligned during those sessions. And like, I would literally just, with love in my heart, listen and ask the right questions. And most of the time, like they were able to somehow release, somehow heal without me even giving them a word of what they should do. And so that's what I started to learn is like, yo, like, you know, when you say like how Jesus did his miracles, right? Part of the reason he was able to do miracles was he didn't see the person as sick. He was able to open a quantum potential in portal where the person was already whole. And if the other person through faith was tuned into that quantum potential, what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven, a frequency where disease doesn't exist, then the other person was able to administer that frequency and timeline shift into that reality. And then he would say that, you know, the kingdom of heaven has come nigh unto you. Honestly, like some of those have been, you know, but most of the time what I usually do is I just ask questions until I understand their childhood. I understand what they went through. I understand like certain key parts of their life. And then if they really want advice, then at the end, everything I learned on my own healing journey, all of the technologies, all the connections to the doctors, all the breath work, all the yoga, everything that I've ever learned, I'll literally give to them a bullet point. If this was my mom, this is what I would do. I would look into these technologies and I would do these type of things. And most of these things are root cause treatments.
So I think, and I want your opinion on this, I think a lot of people's problems too is bottling things up out of sheer embarrassment or fear of talking about it because they're going to be judged about their problem or their behavior. I did that with an eating disorder for 20 some years, and now I'll talk about it so openly and I feel so liberated, and I don't really care if you think I'm screwed up or not, because it's one, it's helpful to get it off your chest, and two, it's helpful to help other people to know that, hey, so-and-so is going through that too, and he's talking about it. Yeah, he's a guy with a problem that may be considered more female problem, even though we know it's not. That's how it's viewed upon. I talk about going to prison. I don't care because I learned from it and I did a bounce back story. I don't care. But I think that it took a long time to have that comfort, and that contributed to anxieties and stresses that I had that you don't even realize that you have until you liberate yourself and let it out. And I think part of that, it may take somebody like yourself to talk to with a soothing voice and a good ear and a non-judgmental attitude that can help people feel that way. And I think people need that. And I think that that is part of the problem, is even some people in that field don't come across like that. And they come across stern, or like they're not listening, or just uninterested. And do you find that too with people that you've been around or worked with? And do you agree that that may be part of the problem, that people suffer mental anguish or distress because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, in Chinese medicine, they say suppressed energy that is not flowing, stagnant energy, is the cause of most diseases. And so, you know, from a young age, a lot of souls, because that little child needs so much love, it needs love. And so there's patterns of how, you know, my inner child received love from my father, patterns of how my inner child received love from society, from my mom. And I started developing these subconscious downloads and apps running in my mind. If I want to survive in this world, and I want to fit in this world, and I want to get love from my mom and dad, I have to be this way. And then in that programming, there's a compromise of authenticity. And when that authenticity is not being allowed to be expressed, it literally gets stagnated and stuck in the body. The body keeps the score. And it literally comes out in many different ways, as disease, as psychosis, as whatever it is. But authentic expression is the resurrection. The shadow, all it is the absence of awareness. As soon as you put light and awareness on the shadow, it's no longer in the shadow. And when you have a community that can literally be fully aware of everything that you are, no matter whether it's considered good, bad, or ugly, or whatever, and they're aware of it, and they're able to not judge you and able to hold you, that promotes an environment where the person is able to slowly start feeling safe enough to start expressing the authenticity and the uniqueness. And our whole system is rigged to get people to fit in,
yeah,
to fit into a system, into a frequency fence, a 3D frequency fence, when in all reality, each person, the more they develop and the more they can require, they develop a unique frequency. We're created to stand out, not fit in. But the whole system is designed to help make people fit in and not stand out. And so it's quite interesting how probably a lot of this disease and stuff like that is unexpressed energy that is not flowing, that is stagnated. And it's such an interesting thing, because all anyone really ever wants is to be seen, felt, and heard, and unconditionally loved.
Yeah.
But there are very few people out there who are being unconditionally themselves because of programming, conditioning, and whatnot, right? Because they're trying to fit in and get the love that this inner child so desperately needs in order to survive in this society. Once we start deprogramming, becoming aware of these programs, and not only that, when there's like 100 apps that we downloaded in childhood that are running that say, I have to dress like this, I have to get a 4.0, I have to graduate from an Ivy League school, I have to marry a Korean girl, I have to do it, right? All these apps that I can't act like this, I can't speak loudly in this situation, I can't. What happens to an iPhone when there's like 150 apps running at once? Same thing. And that's why people go see psychiatrists. They literally have like 1,000 apps running. And that's why I started realizing 99% of all psychiatric conditions are people literally running all these crazy apps of what they should be. They're not worthy because they're not doing the other. And literally, you know, they're not even that. And the truth will set us free. And it's like when I literally am able to clear these apps and just be me in that state, I am love when I'm just being me. But the problem is there's so many apps running for so many people, and it's about unlearning everything we were taught we should be, we need to be, in order to just be me. And I am love when I'm just me.
You know, one of the things that I always struggled with, especially like getting into this space, and you know, the more that you do or that you speak out on or that you get more in front of people, you're going to have more people, hopefully, that like you, but you're going to get a lot more people that don't like you, and that they're going to take shots at you and try to hurt you and try to rile you up. And, you know, one of the things that used to get to me were those shots that people would take at me. And I used to get upset, and, you know, I get upset that my wife or my kids would see it and things of that nature. But once I really figured out to stop worrying about that and stop worrying about pleasing everybody else, because you're never going to, no matter what you do, and stopped worrying about what does this person think about what I'm driving or like how I look or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. When I gave that up and I realized, you know, I really only care, one, number one, what how God sees me, and number two, how my wife and my mom and my kids look at me. I want the respect of my peers that I'm working with and, you know, to hopefully think I'm doing well or, you know, giving good interviews or giving good information, and I want to do that. But I feel like just personally, when I let all that go and I figured out and I kind of really made God first and just relied on talking to him and helping guide me through that, I let that go. I've gotten far more respect. I sleep a lot better. I've got better blood markers, less inflammation, less, because like you said, this causes lower immunity. It causes inflammation. It can cause cellular dysfunction. There's a lot of things that it can cause that people don't understand. And it can degrade your body internally so rapidly. And people don't understand that. And it's not good to live in that world. They're going to have stress every day, right? You're just, something's going to stress you out or something. But if you find the right way to handle it and deal with it and not find a crutch, so to speak, and find a way. And that's where I'm transitioning to with you is finding a way to deal with stress without relying on anything but your mind. And hopefully God, I know, look, I'm not trying to push that on everybody. That's your own thing. That's what really works for me. And I think it does for quite a few people. And I think a lot of people are looking for that. But do you feel that figuring out and do you teach this, finding a reliance on yourself at first to work through this and get into a better state of mind is actually the key to healing without medicines, even supplements, even natural medicines? Do you think that's the first step?
Absolutely. There, I'm going to butcher this quote, but it says something to the extent of, when there is sufficient amount of capital S-E-L-F, so that's higher self, God, healing naturally and spontaneously occurs. My kind of like main bread and butter message to anyone is capital S self-love. And, you know, all the studies show it, right? Like people who have some type of faith in a higher power literally have better health. And the statistics are like very clear. Right. And so literally when you have that self-love, slowly, 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 you stop caring what other people think. And it's all connected because every thought we have is a biochemical reaction in our body. It's all connected, the spiritual to the mental, to the emotional, to the physical.
Right.
And so once we have enough of a capital S, God, whatever you want to call it, in our system, we understand that we are source. We are a child of the Most High Living Creator source. And there's this like innate sense of worthiness, right? That doesn't depend on what other people think or on what other people say. In fact, when you develop enough of this capital S, you start to realize patterns of like every person who was making a difference in humanity, who spoke their truth, Gandhi, MLK, like, you know, Jesus, whatever, literally they had people for sure who were saying negative things about them. And that is actually a great sign that you are on the path of truth, because broad is the path that leads to destruction and narrow is the path. And very few find it and have the courage to walk that path of self-love, you know, and the path of truth, the path of courage, the hero's journey. And so I always say to everybody, develop a self-love practice every single day. Connect to your source, God, every single day. And that is, for me, the most important aspect of health, period.
Love it, man. I love it. Okay, so I know we're kind of focusing on the self and everything, but let us do kind of dive into safer alternative medications or things that can help when you're struggling with stress or sleep or things that can induce that. Do you have any? Because I come from like the supplement background. I used to develop really good products that I would come up with formulas and sell to people. So I do believe there are good products out there. Now there's some bad characters I've had to unfortunately deal with and see over the years, but I've seen some good. And I know there's definitely some good components and different types of like traditional therapy type of deal out there. So are there any good like supplements that are more natural that you feel are good for like calming sleep, mental health, anything that you go to at all that you utilize?
Yeah, some of my favorite ones, you know, the gut and the brain are so interconnected.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some studies say, I think like 80-90% of our serotonin is actually in our gut. And so one of my favorite supplements is Zach Butch's Ion Gut Health. And that one, I try never to be without that one, because literally I noticed a significant shift with this one called Ion Gut Health. it literally is helping the gut brain barrier. It's helping like the healthy bacteria in the gut thrive. And I noticed a significant shift. Some of my other favorite ones, so there's a company called Zen Cleanse, Z-E-N-C-L-E-A-N-Z. And I love, for me personally, you know, when it comes to like cleansing the gut, cleansing the liver. And once again, it's not a matter of like adding, it's a matter of just getting rid of the shit. Literally the mile intestine over a mile, and most people have never cleaned their pipes once. And when that bacteria gets stuck in there, literally, there's literally shit stuck in there from 40 years of life. It literally starts going into the blood and causing all kinds of different stuff. So Zen Cleanse, the one-day gut cleanse, the liver cleanse, and their daily supplement is also one of my favorites. A plant that is coming to the surface that I am starting to really appreciate for sleep, for calm, is called Amanita muscaria. And the Amanita muscaria is that red mushroom plant you'll see, like, it's legal in 49 states. And it's just starting to kind of rise right now. But for sleep, it'll help your dreams. It'll help you sleep. It's GABA analogs. It works on GABA. And it's natural. And like a lot of people think Jesus was had a nice relationship with Amanita. And at high dosages, it can take you on very visionary journeys. But at low dosages, it's really good for calm and sleep. And yeah, I've gone into I've tried a lot of different supplements. For now, these are probably three of my favorite supplements that I use. I pulled all of those up so I can check them out when we're done. I was doing that. So that's what I was typing.
Okay, so you brought something up, and I was going to bring this up, and so it's perfect to go right into it. You mentioned serotonin, and one of the things that I often see, and I even had this diagnosed on me when I was 19 because I was starting to struggle with anxiety, and there were several kind of traumatic things that happened to me at the time when I went to the doctor. And of course, it was, you have a chemical imbalance, we're going to put you on, I believe it was Boost Bar for like 2 or 3 weeks. And to try to fix you up and get you right. So let's talk about chemical imbalance and serotonin and all this. What is a chemical imbalance, and is that even a thing? And if it is, what is it? How do you fix it?
My perspective is that whole theory was made up.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. There's not one validated scientific double-blind study that proves that theory. Not one. So that whole marketing and the whole pharmaceutical company that put energy into that theory to get it into the media, to get it into the DSM-5, to get it into the commercials of like, there's a chemical imbalance in your brain. What are you talking about? You don't even know how to measure the chemicals in my brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that whole theory is like, literally for me, it's based on a complete myth. There's not one scientific study that proves that shows that to be true. And the crazy thing is, like, once someone actually accepts and says, I have a chemical imbalance in my brain, guess what that starts doing? It starts to produce a chemical imbalance in their brain, because every single thought that they have is that the greatest pharmacy is the brain. Every single thought, word, mentality, attitude that people have is literally creating chemicals.
Right.
And I don't even want to call it chemical imbalance, but that belief system is literally causing a chemical, I don't want to say imbalance, but it's causing shit chemicals that are aligned with that theory in people's brains, which are making people think that there's something wrong with me. And as soon as someone accepts a diagnosis from a white coat and says there's something wrong with me, they literally start isolating themselves because they're like, I'm different. Something's wrong with me. I don't fit in. I have major depressive disorder. I have bipolar. I have PTSD. And guess what that starts doing? Isolation starts leading to inflammation.
Right.
Inflammation is the cause of every disease.
Right.
So yeah, I don't buy that theory at all. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, really, if you want to see a good doctor, go to a doctor that when you leave that office, you're going to have a changed attitude. Because that changed attitude will start to produce the chemicals that are in alignment with that attitude.
Now that you said that, when I got diagnosed with a chemical imbalance, and I'm, you know, this was, jeez, that's almost 25 years now. So I'm still, I can recollect though, there was no blood test. There was no anything test. There was I'm having a lot of stress and anxiety, whatever. And then just a couple questions, because it was actually a friend of our family doctor and even then it was kind of minimal on the questions, but it was probably more than most would get. And that was a personal favor type thing. And it was, okay, here's what you're getting. And dude, I'm telling you, I was in summer school at the time, and I they say, oh, you might have some side effects. Really? Because for the first 2 weeks, I had to get up out of class every day and go fucking throw up. And that's not an exaggeration at all. And I was told, you know, it could make you nauseated and nauseous. But literally, I mean, it was like hell on earth sitting in class and sitting there and, you know, just waiting to have to get up and excuse myself. And not to mention embarrassing at 19 years old, but just sick throughout the class. And I eventually did come out of it, but I don't even know if it was the medicine that even really did it. I mean, because you don't take it forever. You can't stay on those things forever. I mean, I guess you can, but it's not good for you. It's not good to take anything forever except for, you know, certain, like testosterone when you need it or something like that. But staying on some of these medications, they're not really meant to be taken forever. And when you do, you're causing yourself even more issue. And like you said, your body will acclimate to them and desensitize, and they're not going to work at all. So anyway, I will jump off of that. I wanted to throw that in there to feed off of what you said. So let me ask you this. At this point in your life, with all of the knowledge that you have and with all of the studies that you've done and all that you've been through, what is your main goal and purpose, do you feel, in terms of what you're trying to accomplish for other people?
Yeah, I mean, like for me, you know, my journey has been one of trying to accomplish inside of me, which is freedom, liberation, which I believe is the original intention of Source. And I mean that on all levels: physical freedom, emotional freedom, mental freedom, spiritual freedom, financial freedom, liberation. And so my kind of big hairy ass goal, BHAG, is to help a billion souls, for the liberation of a billion souls. Now, in that process is what I would love to, you know, kind of pour my energy into, is creating a new global paradigm of mental health, so that our children and our children's children, like literally when they grow up, they literally have access to these supplements and to real treatments that really do treat the root cause. And not only treating the root cause, but activating their limitless potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, like I really wonder, like, what would have happened, man, if like at a young age of like 3, 4, 5, if we were in a school that honored the universality of human beings, that taught us intuition and breathwork at a young age, that taught us meditation, that taught us about intuition, that taught us about human design, that taught us about the 12 strand of DNA, that taught us about, you know, there's a cure for everything. You know, I wonder like how that would alter the course of these children, or us, but also like the future generations. Cause like, once you know why you're here and who you are, you put in 10,000 hours, you're an expert in that field. So these little kids coming through right now, like I'm excited for them because, you know, they're not going to have to go through all the things we went through. But so that's part of it. But then, you know, so mental health for sure, because I've been through that. That's personal for me. But also on the flip end, for me, it's like Mother Earth, because for me, there's like a, you can serve human beings, which is beautiful, which is amazing, which is the end path of all spiritual paths, is to help people, do unto others as you would do unto them. But I feel like the highest service to humanity is to serve the prana of Mother Earth, which means the energy, the prana, the ley lines, crystals underneath her surface of Mother Earth. Because if you can, it's a grid war. So for example, people think that Iraq was on surface, on the TV, they said it was for oil, the war was over oil. Sure. But like also on spiritual level, there's what's underneath the earth. So it's not just oil, it's Stargate number 10, which is frequency modulating zones in and out of Mother Earth. And if you can control those areas, those key sites on Mother Earth, you can literally control the ley lines, which is the brain of Mother Earth. If you control the brain of Mother Earth, then you can literally control everything on Earth, right? And so when you can grid and regrid the ley lines and the prana and the crystals underneath the earth, you're literally lifting the frequency and recoding it to the natural eternal life frequencies. And what does that do? Well, when our children are trying to have positive thoughts, and if the grid line is running reverse metatronic frequencies, then literally the frequency it's interacting with their DNA, they're going to try to have positive thoughts. They're going to have negative thoughts. And that's when they come and see me and they get labeled with schizophrenia and be put on mind-numbing medications. So for me, like one of the highest forms of service besides mental health for me is eventually to have like all these healing centers around Mother Earth, like interconnected, and to be able to do mass grid work, to bring in intentional frequencies to recode the brain of Mother Earth, the ley lines of Mother Earth. And if we are able to do that, theoretically, we can not only lift the frequency of Mother Earth to a tipping point, but we can literally, you know, we can eventually reach a tipping point where we can timeline shift into a new timeline for humanity. And when you raise the frequency of the prana of Mother Earth, it not only benefits humans, it benefits the animals, the trees, the water, the air, everything living on Mother Earth also lifts in frequency. So sacred grid work in the future is also something that I would like to focus on.
Excellent. So on your podcast, what's your main focus? What kind of guests do you have on there? What do you talk about? What are the different types of things that you are interested in discussing on that?
For like 3-4 years, once I found the Eternal Life Wisdom, for me, I just literally went into a cubbyhole, rented Airbnbs, and started studying about, like, I couldn't get my heart and my mind. Like, I was just so fascinated about the science of Source. So for the first like 20-30 episodes, it was just me rambling about everything that I found about the Eternal Life Wisdom, the science of Source, 12-stranded DNA. So, but now I'm like transitioning now, because I just want to like talk to, like, I enjoy communicating with people that I'm really interested in communicating with. So I enjoy that personally. And then also like adding value to other people. And once again, the intention behind it is liberation for sure. And like, I think awareness, more awareness leads to liberation. So for now, I'm just like really having guests that I really enjoy speaking to, that I feel like can add value to the community and to people. But every once in a while, I'll still sneak in a solo episode when I have something eternal life wisdom related that I want to share. So I hope that the early episodes, though, will literally spark people's DNA. It's like it's a transharmonic transmission of like, you are who you've been looking for. You are the avatar. And here's the science of how to activate your potential DNA.
So right now, what is your main thing that you do? Do you take clients now? Do you do a classes? What are you offering? And what is it that your kind of goal is then with the services that you're providing right now?
Yeah. For the last 4 or 5 years, like, one of my main like offerings was what is called the Heart Protocol, which is a 4 to 6 hour ceremonial psychedelic experience, which connects people not to a plant, but directly to their soul over soul and avatar. And they have like iPhones on, and they can literally speak it. Their higher self comes online and they can speak into a recorder. Like, literally about 70% of people talk, and they can record their higher self, like giving them downloads, instructions, whatever it may be that their higher self wants to communicate to them. And, you know, we were seeing a lot of sometimes healing, trauma release, but more importantly, like DNA activations and things like that onto people's highest timeline. So I was doing that for 4 or 5 years. We're taking a sacred pause because we've created a church, and we're literally trying to align everything legally on the 3D, the writing, the release, to be in alignment with a kind of a church model, religious exemption model, so that we can facilitate it freely, legally. And our plan is to scale that tremendously. That's probably how we're going to achieve our goal of reaching 1 billion souls. So that's one of my offerings. Currently, what I'm pouring my energy into is also Eternal Life Tribe school platform, where everything I've ever learned in Eternal Life Wisdom, there's a 12-strand DNA activation course, 2 live biweekly calls, just like everything that I offer is offered on a school platform, educational platform. And I know we talked about this, but we have a peptide company. And so Limitless Living MD, we're excited because we have like normal peptides, which are great, but also that now we're like starting to discover augmented peptides and personalized peptides. And so we're pouring into that. And, you know, another kind of, yeah, just have like a kind of like side projects where I'm like, we're trying to activate the world's leaders.
Yeah.
Because if we activate the world's leaders, then that will trickle down into the countries, the systems, and all these other kind of like different avenues of flow.
That's one, and you know this already from our talks. I mean, I've been studying peptides almost 15 years now. I started in 2011, so I'm like,
you're an OG.
I'm an advocate. You're gonna find out there, and you know, I still defer to some people that I feel are experts on things, you know, especially with newer things that come out. But I have a little bit of knowledge in that area, and I'm a major proponent. I think a lot of people confuse, and this is a misdirection by media, obviously, but confuse what peptides are and efficient they can be in multitudes of health aspects. And I mean, I'm talking from anywhere from cellular repair to hair loss problems to sleep issues. I mean, it was, you know, some people would look at them in the past as just performance enhancing drugs, when in fact, that is the furthest from the truth. I mean, just even the growth hormone releasing peptides, where you're not having to take exogenous HGH, which can be, you know, dangerous at times or more problematic, and you're releasing growth hormone where you're, you know, as we get older, we're not releasing it anymore, dude, you know? And I mean, there's a ton there. I won't keep going on and on, but that's, I see why you're going that route. And I appreciate when people do that and they see the value there and just how important these could be in everyday life. And so I'm hoping we're moving that direction where these are not only going to just be acceptable, but they're going to be more relied upon. You know, I mean, they're branched chain amino acids. Yeah, I mean, they're, it's, I understand it's not a drug market and drug company and they don't like that, but let's face the facts here. These are safe and they're proven, they're studied, and this is the direction that we need to go, hopefully. So I love that you're, and it would make sense that you would want to be involved in that. So let me ask you, I know from our discussions, we're both very spiritual people. I want to talk to you. I was expressing to you about the misunderstanding and misconveyances of a lot of teachings in the Bible or Jesus's word. And, you know, he had to speak in parables. He had to speak a certain way, and people don't understand and they misconstrue. And I understand looking at certain things on the surface where you could go, well, what? Like, that doesn't sound right. And but if you understand and study, you really understand and you go, okay, and a light bulb goes off, and then it kind of overtakes you, your whole body, when you really understand, and it becomes who you are for a lot of people. You know, I know for me, I live it and breathe it to the best of my ability every day. It doesn't mean we don't mess up. I'm saying that we try to live by that standard. So how hard was it for you, or did it just hit you all at once, to really understand what he was trying to say? Do you find that people that really try harder, they become not only more accepting of it, but they really let it take over their life?
Yes, it's such a deep question for me, because like I fell in love with Jesus at the age of 16. Literally fell in love. Like, I would write love songs to him all night. I was a youth pastor. I was a religion major. My mission in life was to follow Jesus's footsteps. In high school, they did the article on me and said, what are you going to be? And they said, I don't know, but I'm going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. So this was like a deep, deep love affair, man. And then, you know, I literally was doing the, you know, because, yeah, I started asking questions and opening my mind at a certain point. Because, you know, he was saying in red, you shall do even greater things than me. He was saying in red, raise the dead, heal the sick, freely you have received, freely give. He was saying in red all of these words. And I looked around at the church I was at one day, and I was like, there's no power here. Nobody's doing these things. And then I just started to like ask questions like, okay, what did he do from 12 to 30? In the Bible, there's nothing written except for he grew in wisdom and favor with stature with man and with God. At 12, he's in the temple and his parents lose him. They come back, say, where were you? And like, don't you know I'd be about my father's business? He comes back at 30. He knows how to walk on water. He knows how to turn water into wine. He knows exactly what his soul mission is. He knows exactly who his homies are and who his soul family is. He knows exactly, and he goes into the church he grew up in, and he literally goes into the church on the Sabbath day, and he goes to the pastors he grew up with, and he looks them in the eye, and his warrior comes out, and he says to them, you brood of hypocrites.
Yeah.
Well, he had a warrior. He brings a whip up, right? And then not only that, all the miracles and everything that was happening, right? And like, so I got curious. What are you talking about? You said he shall do even greater things than me. So I got super curious, and it was a huge jump for me to open my mind and say, okay, maybe there's more than what I've been told and brainwashed in church.
Yeah.
Because it was so deeply brainwashed within me in religion. And so then I opened my mind and I started to look at perspectives of what he really did from 12 to 30. And I started reading about the yoga of Jesus' time in India. I started reading about his time known as Master Isa in the East, where he was learning about meditation, where he was learning about all these different things. I started understanding different perspectives of who Joseph of Arimathea was, how he would travel, how he spent time in the mystery schools in Egypt, learning the eternal life wisdom. And I started tracing all of his footsteps and opening up my mind. And eventually, the more and deeper I went into this journey, the words that he spoke in red, it was no longer just words. It was science. I understood, like you said, why did he speak in parables? Oh, okay. When you speak in parables, automatically the heart and mind connect, and you have to meet people where they are. And the transmission of stories will be carried on from time to time in ages and ages. And then I started to realize, okay, the science of the eternal living water. I started to understand the science of his miracles. I started to understand what he called the Father is actually consciousness. I started to understand how he had telepathy, how he understood I must go through Samaria the night before, because he was tuning in, just like I was when I was told I have to quit my job, right? And I started understanding all of these things from an esoteric, mystical, scientific lens. And then all of his words started to make sense. And I started to realize, oh, wow, how when he had these visions, he was taking his consciousness and seeing a time beyond space or time, which you can do when you're at a certain frequency and a certain dimension. Right? Beyond space or time, you can move your consciousness, bilocate, you can do all kinds of things. And this is the natural ability of celestial human beings, and the secret lies within the intron potential DNA. So for me, you know, it was like a deep process of this love affair I had with Jesus, and literally opening my mind to understand what he did from 12 to 30. And then this thing started happening for me. Oh, I started meeting my soul family. I started, my mission started to become clear.
oh, I, you know, literally cast out demons. Yeah, I've done that before. But like, you know what I mean? It wasn't just me. It was like this, okay, just listening to the intuitive understanding of the higher self and having this intention of wanting to love and serve people and believing that you can and that you are who you've been looking for and that the inner Christ is within you and that the belief is the bridge to make it happen. And then, you know, so all these things started to make sense. So, but there's like this point where you have to have the courage to be a truth seeker and to open the mind.
That's amazing. And I love it. I love it so much. When did it and how did it hit you, like the science aspect that was regarding it? Because when you were explaining all of the science to me and breaking it down, it was the thing that really took me aback the most. And your explanation and your breakdown of understanding the DNA and what it meant and what you were getting into earlier. And I told you this, that I had always like looked at science as like really bad and going against God. And I realized I listened to, I believe it was Father Mike Schmidt that was talking about the science and how good it was, if it's, you know, to that it's what we're made up of. It's how we're made. And I started to really, my least favorite subject ever was biology. Now favorite thing in the world, because I understand the beauty of God's design and makeup of our bodies and how like intricate and detailed it is and how every single function means something. And I really want to learn everything about ourselves, everything about our whole entire makeup, how it functions, how it works together, and why. And the science is beautiful. It's God's creation, but people misconstrue it and misuse it, just like you can do with anything else. How did this hit you when you pieced this together? Like, what kind of impact did it have on you? And do you feel like it's just integrated into your life now and you have that? Do you continue to study things and learn things, or where are you at with all of it?
Yeah, forever student. Every moment is teaching me. The more I know, the less I know. That's the crazy, amazing science of source. It's like there's consciousness, there's layers of wisdom, layers of intelligence. When you go to one layer and there's another one, and it's limitless love, limitless science, limitless biology of how intricately this amazing creation of creator is connected and intertwined. And it's all science. Science and spirituality are all one. So when I found Kelantic science, you know, these concepts that, you know, Native Americans say, oh, the great spirit, you're never going to understand it. But this science was telling me, what is spirit? Ether or gelesic radiation on the unmanifest, between the unmanifest and manifest side of creation that literally radiates and oscillates. And this is how it steps down into dark matter. The dark matter becomes matter. And this is what it does before. It becomes a morphogenetic field through a clump of called scalions. And these scalions are what, like, literally like a New York Times billboard. It's a fission and fusion of scalar wave sound and light, which matter imprints on. And there's these 12 spheres, and all of them are, you know, orphanetic fields for the certain frequency bandwidth of this. And so I started learning these things, and I was like, oh my God. And the more I studied, I was like, it all connects. It all makes sense. It never contradicts itself. And then, you know, my mom, when I was a kid, used to tell me, Sam, when you get to heaven, you're going to look at God and it's going to be so amazing and wondrous that you're just going to bow and worship. And he said, then you're going to get up and look again. And you're going to notice something new, so amazing and beautiful and wondrous. You're going to bow again and worship. And that's kind of like, now I understand it from a different perspective, but like now I'm literally like, anytime I have free time, I'm on a plane, I'm listening to, like, I want to learn more, because it's like so insanely, intricately beautiful how all of this is science and it's all interconnected and it's all telling me and revealing more about God. And that's why I came to Earth, is to learn more about God.
So how do you keep your studies up? What do you study? What do you read? What motivates you, what drives you, and what calls you every day to read and study? Like, do you study the Bible more intricately? Like, what sciences do you study? What do you look at? I'm just curious onto how you feed your mind.
I'm at a point now where I feel like life is my teacher. The flow of life has become my teacher. If I'm really paying attention, and, you know, God dreaming itself in this dream, literally there's little details that I'll notice, which are literally intricate amounts of information being processed, which are literally teaching me in every now moment. So every now moment is my teacher, because it's literally teaching me exactly what I need in that moment. With that being said, when I do get a chance and like I'm trying to create something or a program or material, for me, there's this, you know, freedom teachings called eternal life. I call it eternal life wisdom. Some people call it Kelantic science. Jet ton of just, I could study for it for the rest of my life and I would like still have tremendous. I wouldn't even scratch the surface. And it's a lot to get into because it's so much and so dense that when you're just starting out, you're just like, where do I begin with this? It's a lot. But like, you know, I put in 4 years, so like 5-6 years so far in this lifetime, and the pieces are starting to connect. And so for me, that's where I usually put my nose into when I have free time to study is the Freedom Teachings, Kalantic Science, different podcast videos and written PDFs about that.
Kalantic Science. Can you spell that?
Yeah, for sure. KeyLontic. Yeah, Kalantic Science.
I'm going to take a little dive into this.
Good luck.
Are you going to do it?
I'll send you a few like intro PDFs. That might be a good place to start.
I'll actually rely on you for that. When I start reading some dude, like, it'll consume me and I need to get to better.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole, man. It's like the deepest rabbit hole.
Yeah, whatever you send me would be amazing. And
absolutely.
Listen,
be a pleasure.
To take a dive into. Man, you make me want to be better and learn more and work on. I like what you said. One of the things that I always say is that you can never know too much, but you can always know too little. And I don't like the word, or believe in the word complacency, or, you know, I like achieving a goal and celebrating, but then I like moving forward and moving on and looking for improvements. And I think one of the things that you do that I respect the hell out of is that you keep working no matter how much you know, and no matter how much you may think you know, you realize that you don't know enough and that you can improve. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't stop shooting shots just because he was the best player in the NBA, right? Tom Brady didn't stop throwing passes every day just because he was, you know, the GOAT. Like, that's not how it works. So what are some good, I want to ask you, it's a double part question. What are some good, like, mind exercises? And what are some good breathing exercises where we can improve our mindset and also our breathing techniques that you would recommend? Like, do you believe in things like, I think it's the AeroFit or AirFit, like the breathing machine, like where are they more like spiritual exercises? So I'm curious as to both mind and breath exercises that you prefer or recommend.
I mean, the two are intimately interconnected. The mind will follow the breath.
Okay.
Or the breath will follow the mind. If you master your breath, you'll master your mind. If you master your mind, you'll master your hologram because this universe is mental. So what I sometimes say and try to live is if you want to master one thing in life, master your breath, because there's a breath for everything. Oh, hey, I'm in a war and I just got dropped down from a helicopter and I need to calm down. Okay, cool. Box breath, 4-7-8 breath. When the exhale is 2 times as long as the inhale, and that sacred pause in between, the parasympathetic nervous system activating. And when that starts activating, then my body gets the signal that I'm safe. That's the breath. You can send the signal to your body that you're safe. And safety is a prerequisite for healing. Oh shit, I have 7 to 14 generations of intergenerational trauma that was passed from that sperm and that egg met. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor and I have that in my body. Okay, cool. Let's do a powerful holotropic transformational 45-minute breathwork session. And let's literally send this high frequency prana, which is a high frequency, into the body continuously for 45 minutes. Change the oxygen to carbon dioxide ratio. Literally, trauma is literally a polarized frequency that lives in the body. Higher oscillation will release lower frequency. So sometimes for major traumas in the body, these 45-minute sessions, literally, boom, spontaneous release, spontaneous laughter, spontaneous tears. Sometimes you know what the trauma was, sometimes you don't. Okay, cool. I want to energize myself because I'm about to go on stage and give a talk. Okay, cool. Like, I can do this 5-minute breathwork. Oh, I'm feeling tired. I'm driving right now. And I need a boost without coffee. Okay, let me do this one breath work. Create the energy. All energy can be moved. Send it to my brain through gravity. Okay, cool. Like, I have a fresh 30 minutes to an hour of fresh energy in my body. Like you said, hyperbaric oxygen. I can do certain breath works literally to get my hyper oxygen state, which will change my gut microbiome. It will literally change my energetic state. It will literally cure TBI. It can literally cure all different types of things. Oh, cool. It's breath is free. It's right under my nose and it's abundant and it's free. And I you know what I mean? Like, I can get into any state I want. Oh, I want to have a DMT psychedelic experience just with breath. No problem. Search on YouTube right now, DMT breathwork. And so, you know, I guess my answer would be like, they're both interconnected, the mind and the breath.
Yeah.
And, with the breath, you can get into any brainwave state.
So I would just say, like, start exploring breathwork and know what you're trying to achieve. And then for whatever that is, there's a breathwork to do that.
Awesome, man. Well, look, I really can't even begin to thank you enough for the time. I know we're running a little thin on time here, and I appreciate every second that I've had with you. And I value meeting you, connecting with you, and learning from you. And I hope that, you know, I can continue to learn from you in the future. And I really appreciate you giving my audience the insight that you provided today, because it's priceless, honestly, priceless. And so I just, first, let me say thank you. It's appreciated, man.
Man, it's an honor, man. And thank you, man, because I know that I can hear and know your devotion to God and what it took you to, first of all, personally overcome and be where you're at. And then also to be able to create this platform and then have this pure intention of inviting guests such as myself and allowing myself to even speak on this platform. First of all, I enjoy it. And then also just, you know, giving respect and honor and gratitude for what it took you to create this platform and allowing me to be on it. Like, thank you.
And always, man. And one other thing I want to point out before we go is being proud of our, you know, our faith and our spirit and everything. That's what it's all about, man. And when people can do this, come together and do it, that's what he wants. And I'm like really, really, really thankful and blessed to have somebody like you to do that with, because it's, you know, some people don't want to do that. And that's kind of what I've figured out recently, where I'm trying to discern exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I understand like the calling in terms of what I bring, and obviously you do with what you bring, but this is really what it is, to spread it together and to show people. You know what I mean? That's really what it is. And I see that and I realize it right now, this second. So why don't you tell everybody, I'll link everything in the description, good places to follow you. Once again, the name of your podcast and everything, and how they can go on this journey with you, man.
So my Instagram is Samuel B. Lee, MD. And then, yeah, I'll send the platform for my school online platform. And then I'll also send a link. Limitless Living MD is our peptide company. And those are the three things that come to my mind right now.
Excellent, man. Well, I would encourage everybody to follow this man, listen to his podcast, and kind of go along with the journey that he takes us all on. So, like I said, brother, pleasure, honor, very thankful for our time today. It's made my day pretty damn solid today. So I appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, all day, man. All right, everybody. Well, I hope that you took like everything out of that I am saying, and I'm sure that you did. And I hope that it really brightens your day and impacts everybody. So stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli and Samuel Lee signing off.
Peace.